The burial of the Lord Jesus is part of the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. So not only did he die, but he was in the heart of earth 3 days and three nights. Nothing vicarious in the burial, but that's part of the gospel. Then he rose again according to the scriptures the third day. So the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus is the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. Now that we have 2 Corinthians, it goes even further. Christ is in the glory. So the gospel emanates from a man in heaven, the glorious gospel of Christ, called Paul's gospel, the gospel of the glory. So how wonderful that is, that we have to preach this glorious gospel of Christ. Our Lord Jesus? Did anyone here ever speak on the burial of our Lord Jesus? Well, it's part of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 says so. So it's good to be familiar with the gospel, you know. And even after that, the gospel of the glory of a man in heaven.
Might also be good to notice God's intervention in this situation in verse 17, that the Lord had prepared this fish. Previously, in verse 4 of chapter 1, it just says things like the Lord sent the great wind, and there was a mighty tempest, and so on. But here we have something that the Lord actually prepared. There are four things that the Lord prepared in the book of Jonah, and this is the first of those four. The other three are clustered together later on. But he prepared this great fish. And so the Lord did not let Jonah know, as we were saying earlier, that this great fish was waiting. Jonah simply was thrown overboard. And we're thinking now of his experience as a servant of the Lord. Because of his disobedience, he knew what the penalty would be for disobedience. But the Lord was not going to make that the last act of his servant Jonah. And so the Lord prepared this great fish. And there actually have been, our faith does not rest in this, but there actually have been instances of people who have been swallowed by fish and discovered some hours later in the belly of those fish. I don't know the species and it doesn't really matter, but it has actually been documented that this has taken place. But as I say, that's not what causes us to believe the account of Jonah. Before anybody knew that that had happened, we could still rely on the fact that God prepared this great fish. The Lord is in control. There's many parts of nature in the book of Jonah that are under the that are subject to the Lord, subject to God. And it is a contrast to his own people, to his own prophet, who has not been subject to him. But now this fish is subject to God, to the Lord, and he is right there so that Jonah can be preserved and go on to have this prayer that we have recorded, the prayer that acknowledges the authority and the rights of God in his life as one of God's servants.
Five times, you would think that God started with the great city in the sight of men. There was a great wind, and there was a great tempest. The last two is really the great fish he had prepared, and then later on the great kindness of God. But the great fish, he prepared it. I like the scripture that the Spirit of God said he prepared it. He didn't bring it. He didn't send it. He prepared it. Because I certainly believe that the type of Christ has to be fulfilled in every aspect in relationship to his burial, if I might use Brother Bob's term. When the Lord Jesus was buried, he was buried in a sepulcher where no man was laid there before. And God, to bring the perfect type of his beloved Son, the scripture says he prepared a great fish, and Jonah was in it. So in a practical way, unfortunately, Jonah starts praying in these difficult circumstances. You and I, dear brethren, we have this wonderful privilege to be able to pray to God at all times. We don't want to wait when God brings me into deep waters because of my disobedience to start praying. Pray without ceasing. And we can enjoy this privilege from now. Why is it that the Spirit of God highlights almost word to word the expressions that Jonah used in the book of Psalms, as Brother Bill reminded us? For example, part of it is in Psalm 22. Another part is in Psalm 69. And one verse is almost word to word in Psalm 42. Deep calleth upon deep, all God's waves and billows. Listen, you and I might fail, like Jonah did. But that, as we said earlier, will never hinder what God's purpose is for every believer. And you know what it is? That you and I might be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. That even in such a deep, deep water, Jonah was using expressions that were similar to the Lord Jesus himself. And may the Lord help us as Christians to be able to behave and to speak and to do things in the same way the Lord Jesus will do it.
Just make a thought as to the change from how the mariners saw the Divine One and the way Jonah experienced the Divine One. It says that the mariner called upon God. Perhaps God will think of us. And the thought there is that they saw him as one who judges, that he's a judge. And so they realize this, that they are in much predicament, and there is one who is great, because Jonah made this known. I am the one who serve God, the one who judges all. But then when it comes to at the end of chapter 1, we get Jehovah prepared, and then chapter 2 it says he prayed to Jehovah, Ovia, the one who is full of mercy. So one, the way man sees God, it's always that he's a God of judgment. He's going to consume us. And so they pray that maybe this one will not consume us. But then when it came to Jonah, the one who Jonah believed on, mercy comes to him. The all-merciful one prepared a fish. And then that same merciful one Jonah could pray to. So often, this is how man sees God. And that's their only understanding of God, until they come to the point where he saves them from all that is going on. But here, Jonah is one who sees him as the merciful God.
And we have one greater than Jonah's before us. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He even said that in Matthew 12. A greater than Jonah is here. But he does use that illustration.
Yeah, it's again in contrast. The Lord Jesus went into the bottom. The bottom part of the earth because of his obedience. Jonah went there because of his disobedience. And that's where the Lord Jesus really stands unique. And how it's interesting that on the Day of Atonement, the Jewish people in the synagogue today, they don't only read Numbers chapter 16, they read the book of Jonah. It is the book of death and resurrection.